Hello, everyone. This is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. Thank you for joining me today. Our web address is crossandthrone.com. Our other web address, paulsevangel.com. They both go to the same place. This is Cross and Throne Ministries. And our two websites, again, crossandthrone.com and paulsevangel.com. And if you do want to help keep the cost of this program, help us pay for the cost of these programs in your area to keep it going, you can do it at P.O. Box 421, Round Lake, Illinois, 60073, or you can go to our website and make a donation there. And the money all goes just to pay for the cost, and if you want to keep going and hearing it. If not, that's fine. That's up to God, and we'll just keep going on the internet. But we're hoping to reach you out here and bring people to the knowledge of the truth and freedom in Christ. Well, my guest again today is Mr. Martin Zender.
Greetings to you all.
And we are on the subject of a cult. Does the Christian religion, does it match the definition of a cult?
I saw Bob Larson's book, The 19 Points of a Cult, in the book, The New Book of Cults, and I thought, man, I wonder if these very things fit the Christian religion itself. And of course, Bob Larson wouldn't think so, because he had set himself up as the mother of all cult detectors. It reminded me of the Pharisees of Jesus' day who said, we will tell you people when the Messiah comes. Don't worry. Trust us. We're the people. We'll tell you what's what. And Christianity has done the same thing today, especially in the form of this book. We'll tell you where the cults are, and they divert attention from their own camp. And I'm exposing this and say, let's apply these points to the Christian religion. And see if it fits.
Well, this is Martin Zender's book, How to Quit Church Without Quitting God, and all the information is found in that book, and he lists these here, and we're on page actually 145 right now, and here's number 6 of the marks of a cult, and it's called Exclusivity.
That's a tough one. It's just one of those multisyllabic words.
Yeah, that, last time we did this and I quoted this, I couldn't say it.
I know,
it
you
either.
Still couldn't say it.
I got to get the, I guess somebody got to lay hands on me or something.
We're going to anoint you with olive oil or something.
Or chocolate.
Or motor oil.
All right, here it is. Those outside the cults are viewed as spiritually inferior, creating an exclusive and self-righteous we versus they attitude.
Once again, my point in this book is I'm going to apply these things to the Christian religion and to myself. Since I've been accused of being in a cult or a cult leader, I'm going to apply this to myself. Those outside the cults viewed as spiritually inferior, we versus they. My gosh, this is practically the definition of the Christian religion. We're believers, they're unbelievers. We chose Christ, they didn't. We're saved, they're damned. We'll be floating around in air-conditioned air for eternity. They will be writhing in flames. We'll be singing. They'll be screaming. It's a huge gulf. And Christians come across like, this is the hour of decision. Why don't you choose Christ like I did? You and me, you and me. This is not what I believe. And Dan, it's not what you believe.
No, none of us, Martin, you'll never hear Martin and I say that we are where we're at because of something we've done. Our faith is a gift of God. If I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, not because I'm more special than Adolf Hitler. I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ because God gave me the faith to believe in His Son.
And if it weren't for that, we would be an Adolf
exactly.
Hitler. It's the grace
and
of
so
God.
It's all the grace of God, and that's it. And so, but the Christian religion actually teaches, they actually believe that they made such a wise choice that they deserve heaven and the rest deserve to be tortured for
eternity. They deserve it. They deserve it.
And to tell the Christians today that Jesus Christ, His payment was enough for everyone and will eventually save everyone is almost blasphemy to them because they can't stand the thought. They can't stand it because they actually think that, well, they made this wise decision, so those other sinners deserve what they get. And I won't be as happy in heaven if everyone's saved because how can I be in the same heaven with unbelievers?
Yeah, you can't tell me that those sinners are going to be where I am. Talk about exclusivity, and that's
and
what we're looking at
righteousness.
Here. Exclusivity.
And if you've listened long enough, you have to understand God's administrational dealings. And so forth, and we'll get into that another time. But this whole we versus they, you and I didn't get here by anything we've accomplished. It's something that God accomplished. We are His achievement.
And He's the Savior of all mankind, especially of believers.
All right, number 7, financial involvement.
Financial involvement, this couldn't involve
Yeah, well,
the
you know,
church.
What people are going to say, well, don't you guys have fine... I mean, do we ever make... does people ever send us money?
Once in a while.
Yeah, they do, don't they? But so you think people are going to use that against us?
Yes.
Okay.
It's not compulsory. That's
Let's
one
see.
Different.
That's
Read
the difference.
That. Number
financial
seven.
Financial involvement. All or part of one's personal assets may be donated to the cult, increasing a vested interest in sticking with it and lessening the chance of returning to a former vocation. Did I read that correctly?
Yeah, you did. Very, very good.
Why don't you expound on that a little?
Well, people have brought the tithe. Many churches have brought something illegal into the modern-day church, and that's called the tithe. You're required to give 10%. That was an Israelite thing. That was part of the law of Moses. And the Israelites, they didn't even give money. It wasn't the money. It was crops, wasn't it? It was the fruit of their labors, mm-hmm. their produce. And so this has been illegally attached to the modern Christian church. And if you've watched any televangelist, God help you. I don't know why you're watching it, but if you've seen it, it's a constant appeal. And, of course, before they ask you for money, they play the organ music, they do the repetitious singing and the chants, and they get you in a frame of mind where you have to give or else you feel guilty. They rack you with the guilt. It's not a free giving. It's a compulsory giving. And this is the very definition of the Christian religion. It's why God has been given a bad name, because with these people, it's all about money. They need it to keep the institution
because
going.
Because they've gotten to a point whether they are... you've got to have the institution, and institutions cost money. You have to have the institution because, as we point out in another program, people have associated God with the institution.
Yeah.
Without the institution, there's no God. Like that church sign said, our veterans died so we can worship. That's baloney.
That's
you
right.
You point out because Christianity is associated worship with the building.
Yeah.
And so you got to have the money coming. You know how much it costs to keep a building made?
I can't believe what
it
costs.
I used to be part of a church.
It's unbelievable.
And by the way, I used to be part of a church building. And all the problems you had were associated with that stupid building. It was pride of association. It was not about Christ. It was not about the scripture. About a stupid
It's
building.
About the heating bill and the electric bill and keeping the thing going. I'm telling you, does this apply to me? I stand at Walmart debating whether to buy name brand or generic trash bags. That goes to tell you that I am not rolling in the dough. When God puts it on somebody's heart to support what I do, then that's one thing.
Yes.
But I'm telling you, I'm driving a Ford. What am I driving? I don't even know what I'm driving. It's a Contour, and it's got 100 and... When I see a car with 50,000 miles, I have never driven a car with less than six-digit mileage figures.
Both my cars have well over six figures on them. Yeah, and so the other thing is there's another local church here, and I don't know if it's church to all churches, but it's a mega church, and to be an actual member, they mm-hmm. have to see your statements, your income statements.
Are you what?
Yeah, that's a true statement. We wanted my wife years ago. We were going to be
that's ridiculous.
Yeah, so they want to see where the money's coming. Of course, they got a budget.
Well, they have to because their budgets are ungodly,
crazy
monthly budgets.
Number eight of the cult characteristics of a cult: hypnotic states. Inducing a highly susceptible state of mind may be accomplished by chanting, repetitious singing, or meditation. How did he do that with a straight face?
I don't know. This guy, he's writing all this and never, ever looking at himself.
I don't even know what kind of church this guy goes to.
Bob Larson?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I have no idea. But that guy who you quoted yesterday, the theonomist, their churches, you know, have the organs, the robed, choirs, and the one guy who wrote against you on this book was a Presbyterian minister, a theonomist, and he wrote a whole article on why a preacher should wear a robe.
It's all in the setting of a mood.
It's all the mood.
The setting of a mood and the authority. Yeah. This man is an authority because he has this purple robe, whatever.
Yeah, so
whatever, you know.
Shut up and sing, I guess. Shut up and sing.
Yeah. Number nine.
Here we go. It's called isolation from the outside. Diminished perception of reality results when one is physically separated from friends, society, and the rational frame of reference in which one has previously functioned.
Christianity fits this bill. It's like hang brain here. Things that make sense in your regular life don't make sense when you join the Christian cult. In your real life, you realize that any father that tortures a child, or any father father or mother that loves their children and purposely causes them causes them torment. That's evil, and you're repelled by that. And yet you come into the Christian religion, and it becomes an altered reality. You're isolated from your regular life. You have your regular life where things are done a certain way, and then you have your church life. And now, all of a sudden, the eternal torment of your son or your daughter becomes acceptable as a manifestation of the love of God. Well, this is just God's love. We don't understand how this could work, but this somehow defines God's love. And you become fine with it. It repulses you in the real world, but then you cross that threshold into the church world, the Christian cult world, and things that you would never entertain in your right mind suddenly become feasible, and this is the beginning of a brainwashing and a cult-like activity.
Yeah,
that's number nine.
They always say, well, you can't reason. Well, didn't Abraham say, shall not the God of all the earth do right? God gave Abraham common sense, and common sense is a good thing. Number 10, lack of privacy.
This is gigantic.
Reflective, critical thinking is impossible in a setting where cult members are seldom left unattended, and the ego's normal emotional defensive mechanisms can easily be stripped away by having the new member share personal secrets that can later be used for intimidation.
Someone once sent me a brochure from a church. It's called, I don't want to mention names, but it's the Spring Mill Church of God in Mansfield, Ohio. The brochure said, be a part of over 70 exciting ministries. They get you so busy and so active. Not only do they want you on Sunday, they want you Sunday evening. Now they want you Wednesday. Now they want you to join all these groups. And it is a lack of privacy. You have no time to be reflective or to think critically because the setting is such where it knocks down all your defense mechanisms by keeping you busy. Listen to some of the things in this church, some of the ministries in this church. Singles 1, Singles 2, Young Couples, Abundant Life, Senior Adult, Church Fellowship Events. Men's events are Motorcycle Fellowship, Visitation, and something called ARC. I don't know what that is. Music and Worship. There are several subcategories here at the Spring Mill Church of God. Praise Teams, Adult Choir, Ensembles, Worship Singers, Orchestra, and Multimedia. You're welcome to join any of these at the Spring Mill Church of God in order to stop thinking. Care and Prayer. We have Watch Care, Tuesday Visitation, Telecare, whatever that is, Emergency Prayer Chain, Pastor's Prayer Hedge. Bring your hedge trimmers, I guess. Sunday Intercessors Ladies Prayer Group. Well, that should be enough. No, there's more groups you can join.
Children's Department.
Children's
Churches. Stockade. Tree Climbers. Joy Bells.
What's Joy Bells?
Blue Bells. Children's Choir. Here's the outreach. Prison Bible Studies. Men's and Ladies Jail Services. Nursing Homes. Bookstore. Tape Ministry. Parking Lot Ministry.
And for ladies, we also have Fundraising Visitation. Kitchen Helps. Lydian Spiritual Life Nursery. Mary and Martha. Women Reaching Women. MOPS, Mother of Preschoolers, Wives
friend,
in
is
Christ.
Cultish. You know what it does? It keeps you so busy.
Yes.
And it makes the center of your life, the church
the
building.
The center of your life becomes church activities.
And it becomes neglecting the families, the whole works, all under the guise of religion. This, my friends, if it's not, it's a cult. This is the modern church as a whole right now.
There's
something for everything.
And they don't want to leave you unattended for a second.
There's activity for everything. Everything's centered around the church building. Friends, this is cultish. And it's not Christ. Not Christ. Well, we're here to help free you. Jesus Christ is the Savior, and justification is a gift without the institution. Sanctification is a gift without the institution. And this is probably radical to most of you, but this is truth. We want to see you freed and not join anything. And you'll find freedom and joy in Christ. Well, this is Dan Sheridan with Martin Zender. My web address, crossandthrone.com. Your web address, Martin?
MartinZender.com.
Martin and I are having a conference here September 18th through the 20th in the Chicagoland area. Please come join us. And it's a very casual atmosphere. There will be no church steeples. There will be no choir robes. There will be no baptistries.
What about pews?
No pews.
Oh, darn
no
it.
Pews. There will be tables for you to set your Bible on,
okay.
However, a little bit different than you're used to. Would you close us, sir?
Believe in God, folks, no matter what the clergy tell you.
We'll see you tomorrow.